131. My father planted all. This is one of my favorite songs, and it so happens it's both in our hymn book and in our chorus book.
Talk of faith when we're up. life's at its best, but it's down in the valley of trials and temptations. And that's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the
I got something I just got to preach to you this morning. I'm leaving our verse-by-verse study of Matthew just for right now, because in my own personal devotions, I was reading Romans 6, 7, and 8, and I just got led of the Lord to preach on chapter 6 today. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice from the Lord. He didn't speak to me. I hear some preachers say, "The Lord talked to me last night." No, but impression upon the heart, yes. And I would believe by the Holy Spirit of God. I want to preach from Romans chapter 6. And I want to talk about, and I got these three figures up here. These are my efforts at art, okay? If I could do better, I would, but this is about the extent of it. I spent 2 years in kindergarten, failed the first year because I couldn't scribble. So here you got the best here. All right, this is going to represent you and me. This is also representing you and me, and so does this. But you can see something is happening here, and it goes along with our passage of Scripture here. I just tried to count up all the times the word dead and death is mentioned in Romans 6. I counted 12. A death has occurred the day you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know that? Do you realize that that happened? Now, I know you did not die bodily. You're all still here. So you got through the experience of getting saved without dying physically. All right? You're still here. You're still in the same body you were born with. But I want you to know something. The day you got saved, you died. A death occurred. Now, it's a spiritual death. It is not a literal death. You will literally die one of these days, or escape death in the what? The rapture, okay? And then when we are raptured home to be with the Lord, we're going to have our body redeemed. And it's going to be made new. And we're going to get a new body, which will no longer sin anymore or have any problems with that sinful nature anymore. But the day you got saved, a death occurred, and it was a spiritual death. Now, don't get upset with that, saying, well, okay, a spiritual death, but how do, you know, I didn't see it, maybe I didn't feel it, or things like that. All of you came walking through the door, both doors, and you attended church, and here you are. Why are you here? You're here because of a spiritual reason. You're not here for a physical reason. That's why you find here at our church, we have no crosses for you to genuflect in front of and cross yourself or whatever. We have no mass where we give you the very body of the Lord. That's what they say, that it actually changes into the very body, bones and flesh of the Lord. We don't do that. We don't have any idols of Mary or the saints situated around in the auditorium for you to kind of look at and say, oh, I feel like I'm right in the very presence of Mary or Joseph or Paul or whatever. And you look at them and you bow or genuflect. That's literalness, all right? They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. We don't have any tangible things for you to grab a hold of. We don't have any earrings for you to buy with crosses and things like that, or crosses around your neck. I wouldn't advocate that you get a tattoo of a cross on your skin or anything like that. We worship God in spirit. And you came here this morning because of a spiritual reality that's in your life. And you say, I want to go and worship the Lord, have fellowship with others who believe the same way I do about the Lord and the spiritual realities that are mine in Christ Jesus. That's what happened the day you got saved. You spiritually had a death occur, and a burial occur, and a resurrection. That's what these pictures are saying. You died together with Christ, and you rose to new life in Christ. And this is a very important truth for you to get a hold of, because a lot of good things happened as a result of that death. A lot of good spiritual things happened, which enable you now to live a new life in Christ. We're going to refer to this figure here as the old man. And we're going to refer to this one over here as the new man that you are now in Christ Jesus. Verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How about that? How about those words? How is it that we are dead to sin and we should no longer live in sin? When I know in reality, from day to day, there are times when I still commit sin. And I hope there's not anyone here today who's saved who says, well, since I got saved, since the day I got saved, I haven't had any problem with sin at all. I hope there's no one here who can say that, because if you do, you just sinned, all right? You just told a lie, all right? Because I know from experience myself and the experience of all of you, and you say, do you mean you know that I've sinned? I know you've sinned. Why? Because I do. But I am no longer under sin's dominion. And this is a great truth that we need to grab a hold of. Verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. In other words, don't you know that, believer? Paul's saying, don't you know this? What? Know what? This truth that we have been baptized or immersed into Jesus Christ, into his death. Now, here I stand here, here's me, old man, and of course over there is a new man in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, okay? And he was buried. Do you know that I died with him on that cross? And I was buried with him in that grave? I know I wasn't even around then. I mean, this was way back, years back. But I died with Christ, I was buried with him, and I rose to new life in Christ. That happened the day I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. It's a spiritual thing, okay? I didn't die literally. I didn't have a funeral and then I kind of woke up or whatever. No, I'm still here. I was saved when I was 10 years old. And this body of mine continues on as it did for the first 10 years of my life. But something great happened, which enables me to have something new that I never had before I was 10 years old. And how many of you were saved, whatever age you were saved at? Some of you took a little while for you to finally see your need to get saved. You got saved later in life. Some of you got saved when you were younger. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The day you got saved, you died, and sin, which at one time back here, sin reigned in your life. You were under its dominion, and you could not get yourself out from underneath it. Well, when you died with Christ on the cross, he died for your sin, and sins, plural. And he was buried, and he rose to new life. And so did you. And now sin no longer rules, but now it is grace that reigns. Grace reigns in your life, not sin. That's why a believer can live a holy, godly, righteous life in Christ Jesus. And it's to be expected of you who have died together with Christ and risen to new life in Christ. That's expected of you. And I wonder how you're doing. Look down to verse 11. There's a word I want you to see. It is the word reckon. Reckon. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word reckon means to consider, calculate, impute, count. If we could use the nursery for the babies, that would be good, okay? It would be helpful. Go ahead. And my voice does get fed right into the nursery there. And I know this is important information, and it'd be good for you to be able to even hear it in the nursery. But likewise, reckon, meaning to consider or calculate, impute, count. There's something you need to consider or calculate or count or impute to yourself. You need to say, you know what? The preacher's telling me something here that I need to reckon with. I need to count this as a real thing in my life. And so after he talks in verses 1 down through verse 10 about how we have died together with Christ, we're buried with him together, and we rose to new life in Christ. Which, by the way, water baptism is a symbol of this spiritual reality of your own death, burial, and resurrection with Christ. Now, I don't believe water baptism is in this passage at all. It's the spiritual baptism that it's talking about. But we do water baptism because we have other scriptures which tell us you ought to be baptized to identify with the Lord in this great spiritual reality in your life as a testimony to yourself, testimony to those who witness your baptism. And from that day forward, you can tell people, I got baptized after I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And that's a good thing for you to be able to have that as a witness, a witnessing tool. But You were baptized or immersed when we're downstairs and I put the person under the water. Do you know spiritually? You were put in the grave with the Lord Jesus Christ the day you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You died. The old man that you were before you were saved died with Christ, and a new man has come to life. And we should expect to see people who have been saved to be living a new life in Christ. And you need to reckon this to be true in your life. Verse 11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, being saved and being a Christian makes you different from everybody else in this whole world. You are different than anybody else in the whole world. Why? Because you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So that's number one. You need to reckon, I died with Christ. I've been buried with him. And I rised up to new life in Christ. And let me take you to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. We had the memory verse there in Galatians for Sunday school. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 19. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You know, if you tell somebody I'm crucified with Christ, they'd probably think you're crazy until you say, nevertheless, I do live. I'm still alive. But I was crucified with Christ. And it says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now, see that word now, contrast to the life I was before Christ. Before I trusted Christ, I was different. I was under sin's rule, dominion, and reign. The life which I now live in the flesh, see, I'm still in my body. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I'm glad he didn't die in vain. What he did for me has done great things for me and for you who know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. You have a new life to live in Christ. You're dead to this old man. He is crossed out. And you now are living under the dominion of God's grace and mercy. Not under the law of Moses. No, you know, some people teach you die, get buried, rise to new life in Christ, and now you're obligated to keep Moses' law. Oh, no. I'm obligated to live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how I'm going to live. By grace, not by law. Back to Romans chapter 6. The second part, and this is, there's only two parts to this. In verses 1 through 11, we're to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto Christ. The second part, verses 12 down through the rest of the chapter, talk about something that you need to do. Now that you are saved and risen together in new life in Christ, you're called upon, after reckoning that to be true, to do something. And it's the word yield. Yield. I don't know if you see it there. Do you see the word yield in verse 13? Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto God, but yield yourselves unto God. Down to verse 19, which is a critical verse. Look at verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. You're still in your flesh. Now, I speak after the manner of men. I'm stopping here for a moment. You're still in your flesh. You're still in the same body you were born with. Even though you got saved at a certain date, and you died with Christ, was buried, you're risen a new life in Christ, and you're a new man, you're no longer under sin, but under grace, and you're to reckon that to be true as a real spiritual reality in your life, you're still in the same body. And this same body still gets tempted by the things that are going on in this world. And this same body still gets sick from the curse that this world is under, which I'm still living on this earth. You know, the day I got saved, I wasn't put into a bubble and nothing can bother me now because I'm in Christ in such a way that even I don't get sick, the germs don't get in on me, I don't get fatigued, whatever. No, I'm still in this body. And because of the infirmity of your flesh, Paul says this, I speak after the manner of men, verse 19, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. And look up here. That's what you were doing here before you were saved. You were yielding your body as a servant to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. In fact, that's the reason why you saw that you needed to get saved. Because all you could do was sin and ungodliness and uncleanness, and you knew you were lost in sin. And before you were saved, that's what you yielded to. You said yes to all those things. The moment you got saved, you've risen to new life in Christ. And let's read the rest of the verse. Even so now. See the word now? That contrasts to what you were before. Even so now, yield your members' servants to righteousness unto what? What does it say? Holiness. And then the other verses talk about the fruits of righteousness and so forth. And down to verse 21. But now, see that word now? But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Now, when it says now being made free from sin, it doesn't mean you're not ever going to sin anymore. You're just freed from its dominion, its reign over you, its rule over you. You still will at times fail and yield your members back to the flesh. And what will it produce? It'll produce sin. But here's something new that you couldn't do before, but now, the word now, now you can do. You know what that is? You can yield yourself unto righteousness and holiness. And that's what you're supposed to do the rest of your life. Holiness, righteousness. That's what we're to do now. Yield. So first of all, reckon something to be true. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. I risen to new life in Christ. Now, as a result of that, I need to yield my members, this flesh that I live in, I need to yield it to the service of God and His righteousness and holiness. And He will help you. How will He do that? Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is found in chapter 7 and chapter 8 of Romans, which we are not going to go through today, just simply tell you that that's the power you have to yield yourself unto righteousness. Look at there, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Imagine just coming up to any person in the world who you know isn't saved. And you say to them, you know, the Bible says you ought to yield your members as instruments of righteousness. They'll look at you like you're square and there's something wrong with you. What? You want me to yield myself unto righteousness? Some actually try this. And they go put themselves in a convent somewhere to avoid any contact with the outside world. And they dedicate themselves to prayers and a life of devotion to the church traditions and so forth in hopes that they can somehow yield their members as instruments of righteousness. But even in the convent or in a monastery where the priest might choose to go, they find that even there, their flesh still rules and reigns, and sin has dominion over them. And they sometimes take whips and whip themselves, whip their bodies, sometimes till blood starts coming out, to try to just keep themselves from yielding their members unto sin and ungodliness and uncleanness. And as hard as they try, they cannot reach what you as a believer can reach the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You become dead to sin, freed from its dominion, and you can actually now yield. You can actually decide every day, you decide from moment to moment whether you're going to go to the fleshly side of things or you're going to do the righteous thing. Am I going to do uncleanness or clean things? You couldn't do that before. You were under sin's dominion. But that died and that dominion was destroyed. And you've been made free from sin. Not free to sin, but free from sin. And you can now live and actually decide by the word yield. Yield. And let's just say yielding. Something you decide to do every day of your life. How are you doing? I would encourage you to do that. Now, I'm not talking to unsaved people now. I'm talking to saved people who I know have risen a new life in Christ, and you have the ability, the power, and you're even being told here by the Apostle Paul to do something. Yield. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness. And you decide on this all day long, moment by moment. You decide to do this. Should I tell a lie or not? Yeah. Should I steal that thing or should I not? Should I say that nasty word or should I not? You make a decision every day. And you are no longer under sin's dominion, which says, you are going to do my bidding. You are going to lie. You are going to cheat. You are going to steal. You are going to say bad words. That's what you were before when you were the old man, lost. Now you've died together with Christ. You're no longer under sin's dominion and you've risen to new life in Christ and you're under grace. And now you can decide, am I going to go in this way or will I allow my members to go like it used to when I was an old man? You do have the ability to choose that. Don't you wish we no longer ever sinned? Wouldn't you like it that to know that I'm never going to sin anymore again? Folks, that's not going to be till we get to glory. In the meantime, what do? Yield. Give place to the righteousness and holiness for my members to do here on this earth. And I hope you would do that. I hope you would do that. Look over in chapter 7 and verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. See the word newness and oldness. Oldness would be this guy over here. Newness is this guy over here. Newness of the spirit. Kind of gives you a little indication how you're going to do this, by the way. You might say to me, well, I don't know, Pastor. I just find that no matter how hard I try, I sometimes just give in to the flesh. And I know I'm saved. I trusted Christ as Savior, but I just have a problem. You have to yield. But there's one more thing, and I haven't got to that yet, and that is this. And I'm not going to get to it today, but I'll just give it to you now. You have abiding inside you the power, the resource, to choose to yield your members as instruments of righteousness. And it is the Holy Spirit of God living inside you. And every day you decide whether you're going to follow His leading or your flesh is leading. The flesh will always lead you into sin and death, which comes from that. The Spirit will lead you into righteousness and life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're sitting here today and saying, you know what, I don't even know what you're talking about because I've never been able to yield my members as instruments of righteousness. I seem to only be able to do wicked. I only seem to be able to do that which is wrong. Then you know what you need? You need salvation through Jesus Christ. And He will then give you a new life in Christ. Because what will happen? Your old man will die with Christ, buried with Christ, and you'll rise to new life in Christ. And be able to live in a way that pleases the Lord from that day forward. Might you mess up as a believer? Yes. Have you ever seen a believer whom you know? If you're unsaved and you know someone who's a Christian, have you ever seen that Christian sometimes do something he shouldn't do? Well, I'm going to tell you what. He's still better off than you are if you're lost in sin. Because he has already been forgiven of sin. And you need to get saved from sin yourself. And rise to new life in Christ. And Christian, if you've been a bad testimony, I say, yield. Why? Because you can. Because you can. That's why. I'm not telling you something you can't do. You say, boy, I don't know if I can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. How do you know? Because the Bible says to do it. The Bible wouldn't tell you to yield if you couldn't do it. Hey, would you yield? Oh, I can't. I'm stuck. I'm stiff as a board here. No, no. The Bible says you can yield. So do it. Yield. And you know what? When you yield your members to instruments of righteousness, it brings forth life and beauty and blessing. But if you choose as a believer to follow your flesh, it'll just bring forth death and stinking and rottenness to your bones. Okay? But you have the ability to yield your members as instruments of righteousness. And I would encourage you to do so because you can. And I'll just close it with that. Because you can. We're not talking about works for salvation. We're talking about after being saved. Can I do that which pleases the Lord? Yes, you can. And do it. If you need to make some decisions about serving the Lord, do that right now. Say, boy, I haven't realized that I'm no longer under the dominion of sin. I need to yield my members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I know the things that I should do as a believer. Do them. Because you can. Let's pray. Father, help us to rejoice in this new life in Christ. The ability to actually yield now our members as instruments of righteousness is a wonderful benefit of being saved. May we all take full advantage of it and yield our members as instruments of righteousness. And we will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.